Hi, this is Marlene Araújo from Ponte Lima, Portugal, and you are listening to Saída Chat.
Episode number 69. Hello and welcome to Cider Chat. My name is Ria Wincaller, and I am the producer and cider MC of this weekly podcast, where we speak with cider makers, enthusiasts, and folks within the cider trade from around the world. And this week, I am absolutely thrilled to bring to you
Perry Pear.
Perry, you just cut off Ria from the intro. It's not your turn yet.
Right. I started a little too soon. Is that what you're telling me?
Yes, Perry. You started a little bit too quickly, and I know Ria appreciates your enthusiasm.
Oh my goodness, I love that the palms are just ready to crush it.
That is funny, Ria. Well, you finish with the intro, and I'll just wait until you're done, and then we'll do the iTunes review and rating that we received from Matt.
But just give me a moment, Perry Pear. I want to make sure that the listeners out there in Ciderville know that we have an incredible chat this week with one of the makers at the first cidery to come online in Portugal for I don't know how many years. We're talking a really long time. And I really want to make sure that we get that across to the listeners. So let me just finish this.
They do also grow pears in Portugal. In fact, I think Portugal pears would be quite interesting. Don't you agree?
Portugal Perry Pears. Now that would not only be a mouthful, but that would be a really fun show to do. And I suspect in time it will happen. But in the meanwhile, Perry, let's hold on to the branches and make sure that we give a good pre-intro here for Marlene Luge of Araújo Monte. That's the name of the cidery in Ponte Lima, Portugal.
And we'll be getting to that chat in a moment, won't we? After I do the iTunes review and rating that we just recently received?
Yes, we'll get to that chat in just a moment. While Perry Pear is getting ready, the medlars are fussing over him a little bit. Mr. Quentz is making sure that he's going to stay on task here. Thank you very much. I'd like to welcome some of the fine folks who just liked the Cider Chat Facebook page. And there's a nice list here of people. And it's so encouraging for me because it's always like all over the map. So let's have with it. And we want to welcome Liz, who is from Virginia, and we have Marie, who is from New York, good state of New York. New York actually has the highest number of cideries in the U.S. right now. Very interesting there. Then we have Nancy from Kentucky, and I'm kind of wondering, Nancy, you know, what up with the cider down there? I don't know any Kentucky cideries, and I have to really confess I haven't had time to kind of Google that yet. So if you know, zap me a line. And then we have Paul from MoMA Cidery. And if you remember, just a couple episodes, I spoke to his dad, who is Lawrence. And that was in episode number, let me make sure, episode number 66. No, 67. 66 was a Posma Cidery with Lewis. So number 67, that was a really interesting chat. That's based in Catalonia, MoMA Cidery. So welcome. And then we have Leonard. And Leonard Koenenswach is from the Netherlands. And early on, I did a chat with him. He has a cidery called Bear Cider. And it's episode number 24, if you want to listen to that chat. Very interesting. You know, the Netherlands is really up and coming with their cider. So welcome, Leonard. And then we have another cider maker. This is Rafe from Forgotten Ciders. And I'm going to be having an upcoming chat with Rafe and Nicole going live That's Rafe Ward of Forgotten Ciders. And I have a number of amazing ciders just sitting in my little cellar right now that I'm going to be cracking open from Forgotten Ciders. Really excited to try those and kind of dig a little bit deeper. When I'm not at a festival, I really get to kind of like taste a cider and discover it. So look forward to that episode with two amazing people. Now we're going to like jump all the way over to like the other side of the world from where I'm located and welcome Michael from New Zealand. And there's definitely some cool New Zealand cideries happening. And then we'll pop back to the U.S. with Stephanie from North Carolina. Stephanie, I see you have a pussy hat on. I have one of those too. Rock on, girlfriend. Okay, and then there's Destiny from Tennessee and also Jonathan from Tennessee. And I am going to have an upcoming chat with some cider makers in Tennessee. That cidery is called the Gypsy Circus. So I'm wondering, Destiny or Jonathan, if you're involved with the cidery, do let me know. And Bruce, who his profile says, School of Hard Knocks, the University of Life. We could all relate to that in some ways more than some, but I like that. Anybody puts that up, that's somebody I would like to have a pint of cider with. And then there's Seth from Michigan. And Seth, you're from Fenville, and we know what is located in Fenville, and that is Virtue Cider. And if you heard on last week's chat with Amy, she was praising Virtue Cider up and down, specifically because she has celiac disease, and she really has to watch her gluten. And she also wants to watch the sugar, and she found that Virtue was a really good choice for her. And let's see, let me find out. I did speak to Virtue Cider Maker Gregory Hall, and that is episode number 22. And that was a very nice chat with Gregory. I did see him at CiderCon just a couple weeks ago. And Seth, sorry I didn't get to sit down to talk to you. You have been recommended to talk to about barrels. And I am still trying to catch up on the barrel episode. I just have so much going on right now. I haven't even caught up to all the emails I need to do. So please, please, please hang on, Ciderville. I'm just trying to keep life going, and I will get to each and every one of you. And Seth, who knows, maybe we'll be talking barrels coming up in another future podcast. I've gotten a couple recommendations of barrel makers that I'm hunting down. Fun stuff in Ciderville. And talking about fun cities, Chicago, we have Melissa from Chicago. Melissa, I think I met you. Hello. And then we have Shane from South Carolina. A lot going on down there. And Keith from Washington, and he has a Facebook page called Cider Log, like a log that you roll. And they have Google calendars of events and things like that. So you might want to check that out, the Cider Log on Facebook. I like how he wrote that it's for cider fanatics. I have to watch out for that because I don't want to get Perry Pear upset with me. You know what I'm saying? Not to mention the Medlars and Mr. Quince and all that, you know, and we kind of put it all together in cider, but we got to watch out. So anyways, Keith, good job on the cider log. And then we have Stanislav from Bulgaria. Isn't that interesting? I would love to hear what you're doing out there, Stanislav. If you have some cider, what are the traditions out there, the apples that you're using, that'd be really informative for all of us. And then we have Maggie from California, and our final welcome to Miguel from somewhere out there in the world. I'm thinking somewhere out there in Spain. So welcome to each and every one of you. As always, the Cider Chat Facebook page is non-exclusive. It's where I post the podcast every week for folks and just kind of share what's happening out there in Ciderville overall as I kind of roll in and out of Ciderville on my day-to-day frolics and fun. And I hope that you could join it too. If not Facebook, there's also Instagram. I'm at Cider Chat Ciderville, and on Twitter at Cider Chat.
This week, I am reading a 5-star review and rating from Matt. And I believe this is Matt from Ohio, who Rhea was able to meet while in Chicago attending CiderCon. That's the industry event put on by the United States Association of Cider Makers. And he titled this review as Great Podcast. I think that's a very good title, Matt. Well done. And he wrote, a great source. I agree, Matt. It is a great source. In fact, he wrote, the only source of interviews with members of the cider industry. It's true, true, true. Wide-ranging geographically, and engage with different makers at varying depths. If you're interested in cider, and I might add Perry, this is your podcast. Thank you very much, Matt. We hope that you have a fine day in Ciderville. And I'll be looking forward to more of those iTunes reviews and ratings, not only from the United States, but from all over this hemisphere, both the Northern Hemisphere, Europe, Australia, Asturias. There's a lot of places out there that I know that palms are being grown. So we hope that you could get those reviews and ratings up there so I could come back on the podcast and read them for you. Over to you, Rhea.
Thank you very much, Perry Pear. And now let's head over to our main chat for this episode number 69. This was pre-recorded while I was attending the International Hall of Gala Ciders. So we have a series of these chats with cider makers from all over Europe. And it's just been an absolute thrill for me to sit down once again and listen to these conversations. This particular one was very moving for me because I had the opportunity to meet Marlena and Patricia earlier, and I just heard these whispers that these are these two gals. They're from Portugal. They have a cidery. Not only a cidery, it's the first cidery in the entire country. And certainly that got my cider antennas up and, you know, moving, no doubt. So once again, Anzu Fernande, who you might recognize. If you don't, he is a 2017's sexiest cider dude for so many reasons. And one big important reason, because he was so invaluable, certainly to me, but he's invaluable to all of Asturias for the work that he does for Sidra and promoting cider, not only in his region, but around the world. He was there helping to translate. Although I think Marlena has a pretty good handle on English, certainly more than I do Portuguese. So we sat down for this chat, and before we begin, let me just kind of situate you where Portugal is. And we do talk about this during the chat, but here's a little bit more finer detail. If you look at the map of the world and you see Spain, you'll hear Anzu refer to the peninsula, and that's really like Western Spain. You know, you have Asturias, and to the north, there's the Basque region. Then if you go down the coast, there's a peninsula that sticks out, and then there is Portugal. So it's southwest, if you will, of Asturias. It's a long country that reaches down and is moving down, down south. The capital city of this country is Lisbon. And many of us kind of think of, well, what libation are they drinking there? And typically we think of the fortified sweet wine, port wine, or it's a Portuguese red wine that is fortified. And I have actually taken part in some Portuguese festivities because in my spot of Ciderville, which is Massachusetts, to the east of where I'm located, is Cape Cod. And out there at the very, very tip is Provincetown. And that region was really populated by Portuguese communities. And they would go out fishing every year. And around June 17th, they have an event, I think it's called Blessing of the Fleet. And everybody goes out in their ships and they kind of circle around towards the harbor. It's kind of a wild and crazy time. And then there's a cardinal or somebody up on a big ship kind of blessing each ship as it goes out. So a heavy duty tradition there. I have had the privilege of tasting some amazing old style Portuguese soup, which I'm sure would be totally different if I actually was in Portugal. But there's these sprinklings of populations of the Portuguese in this in this entire country of the United States. And, you know, it had such a vast empire over the years. So it's a very, very amazing history. And it's going to get even richer now with the story of this cidery. And the cidery's name is Arouge Manche. And that's a little bit of a blend between both Malena and Patricia's last names. And I'm not sure how this quite works. Marlena's full name is Malena Sofia Sousa Arouge, and Patricia's full name is Patricia Arouge Monche. And then there's a third partner involved, and his name is Pedro Miguel Bravo de Farla. And you know what? Their cider is equally a mouthful too. There's some cool stuff happening there. I'm really excited to bring you this story and take a glimpse on imagine in the U.S. 1984 when West County Cider in Coleraine, Massachusetts went live for the first time, the first American cidery to go commercial. What that was like in 1984. And here they are doing the same thing so many years later in Portugal. That just tells you that cider is going up around the world. So let's grab a glass now and join this chat and head to Arouge Manche and speak with Marlena Sofia Sousa Arouge and find out what's happening there.
You're the cider maker. How long have you been doing this?
5 years.
5 years. Is this something that was passed down from your family, or did you say, one day I want to make cider?
No, it's a project of school. Após essa licenciatura, concorremos a um concurso do, a nível nacional, patrocinado pelo Estado, em que fomos aceitos e ao longo de um ano desenvolvemos a ideia e a partir daí criámos a empresa, o produto.
So this started as a project after her degree in biotechnology. So after that there was a contest for entrepreneurs in Portugal. So they got some kind of stable help for building this company from zero, and they did create their own company and their own product from that.
Wow. So you started off as kind of going into science, right?
Yes.
And then now you're
producer.
Producer.
Yes.
What do you, like, did you expect that to happen?
No. It's different. Happens.
It simply came out.
It happens. Right. And is this what you're doing full time now?
Yes.
Mostly.
Wow. So you started 5 years ago as part of a school project. Are you getting your apples from
the region of Ponte Lima?
Okay.
Is our farmers of apple, and para tentar reter o excesso.
Marlena says that at a certain time of the year, there was a tradition of doing cider, and now they have recovered it.
So it's a very long time tradition in Portugal to have cider.
Yes, but
there was a tradition of cider making, but this tradition got lost some centuries ago, and now they are recovering it. As if recovering it from zero.
Wow.
Not for peace cup.
Right. What kind of apple varieties are you working with?
All of it.
So what they're trying to do is both to recover this traditional cider making, but as well to recover the traditional varieties of apple from Portugal. So they kind of make a trend appear of cider. So we're trying to distinguish, obviously, very
different ciders,
different apples.
Mm-hmm.
Very scientific.
Well, we have a scientist here. So the apples that you're using currently, are they culinary apples? Eating apples?
Yes.
Eating apples.
Não.
So no bittersweet.
Há uma que nós utilizamos que está em via extinção que é a grau. Mas é uma quantidade...
They've got some that in way of extension.
A grau porta da loja, mas são quantidades muito...
Like very few quantities, so they're using mostly table apples. We call it table
mainly
apples.
Table apples. Okay, wow. So you just started researching how to make cider. Did you use certain books to help you? Or work with wine producers?
Utilizamos... A Câmara de Ponte Lima tinha já produzia, mas como em uma instituição, tivemos a possibilidade de entrar num projeto e de nós sermos empreendedoras e criarmos o nosso próprio emprego. E ele já
fala
tinha...
das influências que da cultura da cidra, da produção de música.
Qual é a nossa influência na
cultural da cidra?
E sim, nós produzindo, depois temos um enólogo, temos uma equipa que... Pronto, já estava a perceber que era tipo a influência da Câmara, porque assim, foi um projeto que existe a Câmara que nos ajudou a criar a ideia, tinha um enólogo, nós ficámos com um enólogo, que era da região, e que foi desenvolvendo, fomos sempre desenvolvendo e apurando o produto, ou seja, aquilo é um conjunto da Câmara, do enólogo, é uma equipa que nós vamos construindo o projeto.
So when this project came out, this camera of a foundation for support of new entrepreneurs included actually an enologist. So they're working in very close collaboration with an enologist.
Wow, okay.
So she was explaining about how this project was built up. So they got to collaborate with different professionals as she herself and this enologist to assess them on the most technical issues.
Wow. Are you the only cider maker, producer, commercially in Portugal right now?
Que nós sabemos, sim.
As far as you know.
As far as you know. And would you say that people in Portugal are not making cider in their homes? Like that tradition has been lost after all these years?
Yes, it's lost.
Wow. Why do you think that happened? Why did the tradition get lost?
Que é como tudo em Portugal perde-se tudo.
Because there's a tendency of losing things in Portugal.
Oh, não. Temos coisas boas.
Oh, por supuesto. Assim, né?
E outras coisas.
It happens.
Who's drinking cider right now in Portugal? Who's saying, I want to try your product?
Sim, quais são as pessoas que gostam de experimentar?
So they don't really got a steady market, so this is very innovative and quite new. So they're heading for these open-minded people. So they came to Asturias, as I understood, to learn what the trend was and how were we doing it. And then
educá-los na...
teach the people in Portugal.
Drink cider.
Okay, fazemos aqui.
Sim.
Teach who to drink cider, though?
They teach the Portugal people about cider.
I see.
Eles têm uma grande cultura no vinho. Estão habituados a vinho.
They have a very big, important culture about wine, Portuguese wine.
E é habituados também a diferentes
produtos.
Sim.
So let's, for the listeners, just mention where Portugal is, because some people don't know their geography as well as we should. Portugal is, if you looked at Spain, Portugal is kind of
if
like...
If you look to the peninsula.
To the peninsula.
The Iberian Peninsula.
Oh, that's right. That's right. Thank you very much, Anzu. It's south of Asturias, right?
Yeah.
And it's on the west...
On the west from the peninsula.
On the peninsula.
Most western country from Europe.
Okay, most western country from Europe.
Yeah, because
Europe.
The peninsula
wow.
is not like this. It's
wow.
that way, so
wow.
they are beyond.
Yes.
Oh, I never thought of it like that. That's a
yeah.
good way to...
But it's true.
It is, yeah. Okay, I'll make sure to have a little bit of the world map so that we could point people at it. And what part of Portugal are you in? Are you in the north or the... Because it's a long country, right?
It's north, litoral north.
In the coast and north part.
Okay, so you're a coastal cidery.
Yes.
You're on the coast, okay.
Yes.
And are there apples being grown close by to your...
Yes.
Were you doing that? Like,
yes.
About how many kilometers away?
So they've got apples from different areas since they need lots of tons of apples. So they've got as much as they want, as they can from the surrounding areas, and then you get the rest of the month from the rest of Portugal.
If I was to come to your cidery, what would I see? How big of a building is it? And what
very
are,
small.
Very small. Okay, that's not unusual for a lot of cider houses, just so you know.
Yeah.
They're not all like...
My Portugal is very big.
Okay, well, of course, because it's the number one. It's the number one cidery in Portugal.
Yes.
So we're that proud. Are you using stainless steel vessels for your fermentation, or are you doing small batch in glass? What are you doing there?
Contentores, tipo, aqui que eu acho mais cubas. São cubas de mil. Porque nós estamos a produzir 4 mil.
E de que material? Yes.
And are these stainless steel?
Yes.
They are, okay.
Stainless steel is
inox. Wow. So you were able to get the capital, the money, support to be able to get fermentation tanks. Was that part of the winning this
contest?
Como é que...
É a financiação do projeto.
Do
projeto? Da
parte
própria. Of the ROM.
Okay.
So what they got from this project is the facility, so the state allowed them to do that, and from that they got a minimum to work with, and then the financing is of their own.
Wow, well, very good. So you're really jumping in head first, aren't you? It must be so exciting to be here. And it's kind of nice to see all the people so excited about cider here, isn't
yes.
it?
Yes.
So I'm going to try to understand how you're making cider. Are you using wild yeast, or are you using a cultured yeast?
So it's it's industrial yeast. It's not the wild
okay.
yeast from the apple. All
right.
Can you
in Portugal, sim, mas em Portugal também não existe a levedura da maçã.
So it's much easier to get do vinho.
Sim. É similar ao vinho.
It's quite similar to the wine, so it's much easier to get than the wild yeast from the apple.
Okay, and are you doing a secondary fermentation in the bottle? Like a bottle conditioning? No.
So first fermentation.
First fermentation. And
temos um segundo produto em que fazemos uma segunda fermentação, que nós lá consideramos fermento. Não sei o que vocês
querem. Fermentation?
Sim.
So they've got just one fermentation, the first one. So they don't really do the malolactic fermentation in bottle, although they've got a byproduct they got, which they are using to make another product, which they haven't presented yet, which has a second one. So it's like a very new thing they're going into, because they used to
mm-hmm.
in the first fermentation just in the tanks.
Right, because right now you just have the one cider that's here
yes.
in Asterias. And when will that second product be coming out?
December.
Okay, and that market is just Portugal, or what are you seeing right now?
Neste momento é só Portugal, mas queremos
uma inversão boa.
Sim, queremos exportar, queremos crescer.
So that means.
So right now they've got this Portuguese market, but they of course want to export. That's their first aim. So this project is continuing to go on, and that is why they're here also.
I see.
With these aims of internationalization of their product.
To look about exporting. If I was to come to Portugal, where would I be able to find your cider?
Lisbon. Açores, Porto.
Are you saying towns right now?
Yes.
Okay.
Towns.
Okay.
Ponte de Lima.
And are these in what kind of shops? Are they in wine bars? Are they in...
No.
What kind of shops?
Nós lá chamamos lojas gourmet.
Yeah, it's amazing. And gourmet shops.
Gourmet shops, okay. Right. And can people actually visit your cidery? And like many cideries have a tasting room. Do you have anything like that at this point?
Compreende?
Não.
Se é possível fazer uma
visita,
visita a Luciano. Yes. If I came, I'd be able to visit your cidery and you'd be able to say, here, try this.
Quase como visitar aqui um lugar. Yes, it's possible.
Okay. Do you have visitors stopping in and doing that?
No, but it's possible.
It's possible
porque,
to...
Porque sim, aquilo está numa
they will
zona...
have.
Okay.
Aquilo é uma zona, de certa forma, rural. A zona em que estamos lá, a cooperativa, o lagar, é uma zona, de certa forma, remota. Tem bons acessos, mas é uma zona remota. E as pessoas, como não têm grande conhecimento do produto, não vão lá visitar, mas é possível.
So, this far, so far they don't have a big facility, but a part of the technical one they're using to do the cidery, so it's available the rest to know how they do it and the process of this product. So, part of the cooperative they've got, they work in this format.
Mm-hmm.
So, people will be allowed to go there and know them.
Mm-hmm. What is the government management of a cidery? Does it fall under a winery? Is there a certain licensing?
Os trâmites legais, o que é preciso em termos de trâmites legais é comparado ao vinho, sim. É um bocadinho menos...
To wine ones.
Um bocadinho menos restrito.
Mm-hmm. Because it's the first cidery in Portugal, so they probably were like,
yes.
What do we do?
Yes.
You could go unnoticed or you could go very noticed.
No, they go notice. They go
you go notice. Okay. Are you seeing that you're getting a lot of press or recognition nationally in Portugal for what you're doing?
É difícil. Há uma pressão do
governo. É difícil. Não. É sim. Ela estava a falar se há um reconhecimento ou se há uma pressão em si do projeto do governo. Pronto. Neste momento, a única... De certa forma, a limitação, que não é limitação, que é o apoio da Câmara, eles querem nos ver crescer, mas não é uma pressão, é em si um apoio, porque a Câmara continua ligada
ao
projeto. Ou seja, é sempre
um balance. So they live in a kind of a balance because they don't really have any limitations. The only one would be that this project this industry is still linked to the very first project. So it's a balance between the cooperative and the industry they have made on themselves.
So you're setting the standard. So is there an alcohol level that you can produce it? 7% or does it have to be at 5%?
Não há uma limitação de... Porque o grau de álcool que nós temos é muito... É o resultado da fermentação, ou seja, para nós pode acontecer termos uma cidra 7 ou 8, não temos uma limitação de nível de álcool.
So they don't have any limitations on alcohol levels yet, so they didn't have to get any regulations. But I also agree it's quite important and useful.
That's fantastic. I mean, people would be are listening right now and thinking, wow, what an amazing position to be in as a first cidery in a country where folks are saying, well, this was our tradition, and now seeing the opportunity to bring it back, and you essentially have free reign. Would you agree?
Tudo é aberto para você. Vou fazer assim e você vai fiar para Portugal. Não tem nenhuma limitação?
Existem as limitações do setor alimentar, mas isso é quase como ao vinho. Isso é a regra geral de trabalho. Ou seja, não posso considerar que haja uma limitação. Há sim uma regra geral.
O standard.
Sim, standard.
O standard.
a complete, porque no ha...
So they got to actually fix a standard because they don't have proper limitations, they only have to compete in the rest of the agroalimentary
sector. Tens que complir a part de la Unió Europea i no sé on vols
instead of the European Union, but it's just in the beverage
sector. Tens que complir a part de la Unió Europea i a les bebidas i així o tens alguna limitació específica.
In the very same sector of any other beverage.
Say that again.
In the same sector of the beverages. So
I see.
They don't have a different market, they don't have a special limitation.
That's kind of like blows my mind a little bit.
Mine also.
No, I'm like, wow. When you think about like the Asturian culture here, how it's like really standardized.
I think there's something in common that actually, well, we don't have a government of ourselves, which is a mistake, but they don't have a special regulation for cider, and we have been doing that for like 2,000 years, so I think it's kind of time to do it. Uh-huh. So they don't have a special regulation for cider, but they will.
Sure.
So it's in process, actually. So we're kind of in an interesting situation since they don't have cider culture, so they don't have a legal regulation for cider. So it happens kind of similar stuff because we have Spanish regulation. It seems Spanish, they don't have cider, so they don't have cider regulations as well. So
wow.
All right, Ciderville, I got to put it on pause here. And if you've listened this far, well, you are a true Ciderville member of this community and you're a cider geek. I know it's been tough going back and forth through the Portuguese and English, but certainly the folks who speak Portuguese, I know, are enjoying the little bit that I'm keeping in there. I want to go over what Anzu just said, because this is kind of critical in terms of understanding geography and how each country sees their cider culture differently. And for Anzu, what he said was, the Spanish don't have cider, so they don't have a cider regulations. And just earlier, he mentioned that in Asturias, they've been regulating it or making it for 2,000 years. I'm not sure if they've been regulating it that long, but they've certainly been making it that long. And he, though, is separating Asturian cider, Basque cider too, I believe, from anything that's called Spanish cider. Now, we know this is getting a little bit tricky here because actually there is cider in Catalonia, which is part of Spain. But that is a territorial piece that comes into play within the world of cider. And so when you hear folks say Spanish cider, you're also going to hear a very large chorus of people who say there is no such thing and that it's really separated by these regions. Quite interesting, and quite interesting what's going on with Portugal. We're going to be finishing up this chat soon, so let's head back with Marlena and Anzu.
It's kind of shocking for me.
It's like the Wild West. I love that. And you are the West. You're the West of Europe, so you're like the Wild West.
Portugal is now the Wild West.
Well, in cider it is right now, when you look at it, because...
They're free to go. They don't have limitation.
What?
And the limitation is their imagination.
Yes, exactly. And it sounds like you're already innovating with this next product that's coming out.
Yes.
Sing.
Right, and that's going to have a secondary fermentation.
Yes.
Is that like a champagne method then that you're going to be doing there? Okay. Now your cider is put into like a 750 milliliter bottle.
We call that a third format in European range.
What do you
call it? One-third.
A one-third, okay.
One-third format.
And then this next cider that's coming out, that is going to be in what kind of style bottle?
The same of the average sparkling bottle.
Same, and it'll have like a little wire cap on it to hold the cork in. Okay, all right.
Same style.
Mm-hmm. What is your cider that you have right now? What do you call it?
Cucupia.
And how would you describe it to the listeners? What would they expect if they were drinking it? What should they expect to taste?
Different. Spicy. Different.
Yeah.
Different. young,
tranquilla,
calm. The meaning of Corrupia in Portuguese would be a calm child. So it's like a very new thing going on, and it's good, you know, steady and calm. So this reflects their aim with their project to carry it away and to see it grow.
To see the road?
To see it grow.
Oh, see it grow. Okay, thank you.
You know that the poetry of cider has changed the scientist within Marlena as she speaks eloquently in Portuguese of the descriptors of this cider called Corrupia. And again, Anzu is saying that it is the first cidery in Portugal and that there is a new beginning here, as one would see a new child grow. So eloquent. And I imagine she was eloquent before she became a cider maker, but I'm sure that in getting involved in this amazing craft, that can only grow. I would like to give a big tip of the glass to Anzu Fernandez for helping translate some of this chat for me, actually a whole bunch of it. And I was kind of editing away here. And thank you to Marlena and Patricia and everyone there at Arruja Monte in Ponte Lima, Portugal. I know I am struggling with these pronunciations, doing the best I can, and I hope you're all getting a good smile out of it. Best of luck on your future in cider, and I do hope that we will soon see cider going up in Portugal. That's going to be really amazing to watch and witness. And I'd also like to thank the good folks who are patrons of a Cider Chat. You too can be a patron by joining on the Patreon site. That's spelled Patreon. And, you know, you give a little bit of money every month. You know, if you could afford a dollar, that would be awesome. Every little bit helps. And there's different tiers there. In fact, there's a tier for commercial cideries. So I want to make a big thank you for Current Cider, who has been a continuing member for their Cider Going Up campaign. Really amazing. And I'd also like to thank Alan Shapiro from the Cider Summit for being so supportive of this podcast in so many amazing ways. And don't you know, while I was out 2 weeks ago, I just met so many amazing people. And I hope that if you can, if you're a commercial cidery, you want to join and get part of this podcast and working it all together, well, don't be shy. You could talk it over, see if it works. It only costs about 2 bottles of cider per month. And I'm hoping that cider is going up, so cideries can become part of that. You know, I like to speak for all cideries, and I'm really trying to maintain that instead of just one cidery, you know, because there's podcasts out there who really tie into a particular brand. And I feel all the brands at this stage are important, whether they're the big brands or the more small artisanal brands. Each one is helping lift the other up. But, you know, maybe at a certain choice, I have to kind of think about that. If you have thoughts about that, I would love to hear from you. Oh, my goodness. Well, there is just a lot in this podcast this week. I hope you enjoyed it like I did. I'm going to be rolling out of here, probably catching up with the Medlars, Mr. Quince, and Perry Pear. They're pretty excited to be on the podcast, and I've been getting some fun little, I don't know, notes about that grouping there. And I certainly enjoy my co-hosts too. I hope you do. If you do, drop me a line, ria@ciderchat.com. And you know, I'm going to be getting back to all those emails soon. In fact, that's on my docket tomorrow. In the meanwhile, Ciderville, may your cup be full. This is Ria Wincoller signing off for now. Looking forward to seeing you in Ciderville.
Yeehaw!